Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
Now I'm ready. Thank you for your prayers. I appreciate it. And I thank you for the honor to be able to speak and bring a word today, more like a teaching. But before I get into it, I want to tell a joke. Do you like corny Bible jokes? Come on, who likes them? Pretty much everybody. Okay, not everybody, but not 100%. I hope you like this one. So, you know, you can trace the oldest computer actually back to Adam and Eve, right? Way back to the garden. Did you know they had that kind of technology back then? Well, surprise, surprise, it was an Apple. But it had extremely limited memory. Just one byte and the whole thing crashed. You wondered, huh? That's how it all worked. Praise God. And they've been crashing ever since. Okay. All right. Well, this morning, the message is called The Authority and Power of Agreement in Prayer. And you know, we've been talking about prayer, and Pastor Daniel brought an amazing message on the courts of heaven. And literally, from the point he gave that message, different people said, wow, that's just what I needed. And they entered into the courtrooms of God and approached God as a righteous judge, and God brought justice, and he untied some issues that were tied up, and a person who was trying to sell their home and they couldn't sell their home, and they went into the courts, and by from Sunday to Tuesday, God sold the house. Is that amazing? Because God wants to bring answers, and he wants us to approach him. And so this morning we're going to talk about that. And you know, I love Dr. Edwin Cole, and many of the men did so many trainings and teachings from him. He was a men's minister. But he said, the place of agreement is the place of power. The place of agreement is the place of power. So this morning, we're going to get into that. But before I do, I want to establish some truth about our God-given authority in prayer. And so let's go ahead and take a look at it. And as I was talking about the garden, we're going to start right there. So in Genesis 1, 26 through 28, it says this. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the livestock and over the earth and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living creature that moves on the ground. So you can see from the garden mandate, Genesis 1, that God's original plan was to give Adam and Eve and their descendants rule over the entire earth and creation. He said, take dominion. And in Psalm 8, verse 3 through 8, you can see he reiterates that. I'm just going to actually skip down to verse 4, it says, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of earthborn man that you care for him? For you have made him just a little lower than God. And you've crowned him with glory and honor. And you've given him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet. You see, the God created, but he's given man and woman dominion. Now, God didn't give ownership of the earth away, but he did assign the responsibility or the stewardship governing it to humanity, to man and woman. In Psalm 115, verse 16, it says this, the highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to men. Do you see that? Right from the beginning, that garden message, that message of dominion, God has given it to man. Now, Adam was the first man, and he was put here as God's representative on earth. And we could see that literally, it says that God crowned mankind with glory. He had a crown of glory. You know, the glory of God is his presence. It's his goodness in the greatest possible way. We were singing about it this morning, about his goodness. And you know, the glory of God is also linked with the weight of him, the weight of God and his authority. There's a word in Hebrew for glory. It's called kabod. And kabod is the weighty presence of God. How many of you have come maybe into church or the sanctuary and have felt the weighty presence of God, the kabod, the glory? Amen. I have felt it. I have felt his presence. There's been times where the weighty glory has come on in such a strong way. Literally, I was plastered to my seat. One time, it just like my neck was like stuck to the back of the seat. I could not lift my head. I said, Daniel, I can't lift my head off the chair. Help me. You know, I was like glued because his heavy presence was there. It's his weight of his presence, and his glory is beautiful. It's his splendor. It's his abundance. It's just his majesty. But it also is his authority. And God said he's crowned man with glory, his authority. Have you ever heard someone say, that person carries a lot of weight around here? And I'm not talking physical weight. I'm talking about they carry a lot of authority. And God has given us authority. Now, so complete was the dominion that God gave to Adam that if the earth remained as a paradise, it would be because of man. But if the earth became a mess, it would also be because of man and woman. Now, if Satan gained control, it would be because man gave it up. Do you see what awesome authority God granted humankind? Now, why did he do that? God gave man this responsibility because he wanted a family. He wanted sons and daughters who could personally relate to him, right? And they daily communed with God. They walked with God in the garden. They communed, and God taught them more and taught about himself. And again, the final authority was Adam's. And he had ability to give it away. And you know, unfortunately, he did. He gave it to Satan when he sinned in the Garden of Eden. I know some of us are like, ah, such a bummer. Look what happened. The earth came under a curse, and there is just that curse that came because man fell and he gave the authority over to the devil. And the devil, his job description is to kill, steal, and destroy. Anything the devil does, it's to wreak havoc. But we know that Jesus won back all that authority from the enemy. But in Luke 4:6-7, Satan tempted Jesus in the desert while he was praying and fasting. And he said, I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me. Wow, Satan's just telling you right there, Adam handed it over to me. Is that amazing? And I will give it to whomever I wish. So in the scriptures, three different times, it calls Satan the ruler of this world. Why? Because man abdicated his dominion, his responsibility, and sinned, and it became the devil's. Now, so complete was Adam's authority that it took Jesus to become a man, dying on the cross to win it back. Isn't that something? He had to become a man. Without questions, humans are forever tied to God's authority and activity on earth. Wow. You know, Jesus, when he died on the cross, he defeated sin, death, hell, the devil, the grave, and he took the keys. And at that point, Jesus has all authority on heaven and earth and under the earth. He has all authority. But the same authority that Jesus has, he says, I've given it to you as believers. And God wants us to exercise this authority that we have. You know, it's amazing that God is completely powerful and capable of doing anything. He's sovereign. But yet, he chose to limit himself by working through human beings. We're the delegated authority here on earth. And he works through our prayers. You know, there's a book called Destined to Reign. It speaks about our delegated authority to reign and rule, but we do it through prayer. And in prayer, we're inviting God's will, God's kingdom, God's domain to come on earth as it is in heaven. And through this authority, we can make decrees. We can invite God's angelic messengers and angels to carry out his word. But it's through our prayers. We don't control people. We're not trying to be a dictatorship, but we pray and we invite and invoke the presence of God, the will of God here on earth, because we're co-laborers with Christ. In fact, he says we're a kingdom of kings and priests. We have royalty, and kings make decrees, and it happens. And so God has given us that same authority and right because Jesus won it, and he gave us that authority. We are co-laborers with Christ. God told us in the Word of God, in Matthew 6:10, he says, ask for his will to be done. Now, that's kind of crazy. Why would God ask us to perform his will if he was planning on doing it anyway? Why would he ask us to do that? And then he says to ask for our daily bread in Matthew 6:11. Doesn't he already know our needs? So why do we have to ask? But he asks us to ask. And then he also asks for laborers to be sent into the harvest field in Matthew 9:38. Doesn't God, that so loved the world that he gave his only son, want everybody to come to salvation? But why does he ask us to ask for laborers to be sent into the harvest? God wants the lost to be saved, but can you see he partners with humans and he partners with our prayers? And then he asks for the word of the Lord to spread rapidly and be glorified. And why does he need us to ask, but he wants us to? Now here's the promise. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. That's Matthew 7:7. When I first received the Holy Spirit, that was a scripture my sister shared with me. She said, ask and you'll receive. It was just about that simple. And I asked and I received. Amen? Because God is a good God. He wants to answer our prayers, especially if they're according to his will and his word. Now the instruction. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us whatever we ask, and we know that we have what we have asked of him. Now, I'm asking you, do you have that confidence when you approach God in prayer? Do you have the confidence that he hears you, that he is going to answer your prayers? I want you to have that confidence. God wants you to have that confidence. And if you ask according to his will, well, you might say, well, what's his will? I don't know what his will is. His will is his revealed will in the scriptures. You can see it revealed and according to the principles in the Bible. Now here's the fulfillment when you ask in prayer, in faith, and according to his will. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts and your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so it yields seed for the sower and bread to the eater, so my word that goes out of my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Pastor Daniel one time did a great message, and he talked about the two-edged sword. He said the two-edged sword is the word of God from heaven and the written word, the Bible. That's one edge of the sword. The other edge of the sword is when the word of God is spoken from our mouth. That's the double-edged sword, the word of God and the word of God spoken from our mouths. God wants to answer it. He's looking to fulfill it. You know, in the Old Testament, we have examples of people who prayed. And in James, it says, James 5:17-18 says, Elisha was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Now, I want to make a point here. Elijah was just a human being. There was not anything unique about him from the standpoint he was just a man. Now, how much more, if this is an Old Testament saint, would New Testament believers filled with the Holy Spirit, how much more will God answer our prayers? We have power when we pray, but sometimes I don't believe we realize the power that we possess. And just Elijah literally caused it not to rain, and then God spoke to him and said, now I want you to pray for it to rain. Now, I'm wondering again, if God said, I want it to rain, how come God didn't just make it rain? He could have, but do you see how he engaged man? He said, no, you pray. You come into agreement with what my will is. And if you recall, he prayed once, he prayed twice, he prayed three times, four times, five times, six times, seven times before he saw the answer. He saw the cloud, like the fist size of a fist of a hand, coming and said, oh, it's going to rain now. But do you see that, the persistence in prayer? You know, I think sometimes we give up too soon, right? And I think seven is the number of completion. And I think we need to pray till we see God answer our prayers. I loved what Taylor said this morning. Let's pray for our loved ones until we see them come into the kingdom. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't give up. And Jesus said, will I find faith on the earth? Will people still be praying and believing and, you know, requesting of God? He wants us to. You know, if it's God's will, God's idea, and God's timing, as I said with Elisha, why did Elisha have to pray? It's again because God wants to use us, right? And then another time in the Old Testament, Ezekiel, God was looking. He said he was looking throughout the whole earth, and he was seeking a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so he would not destroy one. He was looking for an intercessor. God didn't want to destroy the land, but he had to give someone on earth to partner with him, to agree with him, to come into agreement with his will so he could do that. Isn't that amazing that he would limit himself to use people? But he does. He uses us. Now, God is looking for intercessors today even to partner with him so that he can work. And we're his partners. In fact, we're those co-laborers with Christ. So when we pray in authority through intercession, we actually become the distributors of all that God paid for on the cross. Is that we make it accessible, right? When we pray and release that, we release healing and provision and deliverance and peace and victory and justice. Those are things that God wants to do. And you know, now that we've talked about the authority in prayer, and I hope you see that, the authority that you have, your prayers are powerful. And if the devil convince you you're not powerful, it's not important, then you won't even bother praying. But God wants you to engage. Number two, the power of agreement in prayer. And the power of agreement in prayer is a biblical principle. Jesus said this, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree with anything you ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where there is two or three that come together in my name, there I am with them. Did he really say anything? Is that the Bible? Anything? Okay, could that be something good? It could, yes. And even sometimes it could be something bad if people come into agreement. You see, there's unity results in power. It could be agreement for good. It could be agreement for evil. And I want to give you an example of this. Usually we do the positive example, but I'm going to give you a negative one here. And that is the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11, 1 through 9. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they found in the plain of Shinar that they dwelt there. And they said, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is to the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. But God came down to the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And he said, indeed, these people are one. And they all have one language. And this is what they began to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Do you see the power of unity? Come, let us go down and confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is Babel, because there the Lord confused the languages of the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. Now, you might be thinking, well, what's so bad about building a city and a tower? Isn't that okay? It's construction. But their point was, it was a pagan worship. They were creating a pagan worship. And isn't this sad? It was like just shortly after Noah's Ark, and God destroyed the earth and started over, and man went corrupt again and started already disobeying God. And so this was pagan worship. That's why God did that. But not only that, but this sounds a lot like the devil. You know, the devil said, I will be like the Most High God. I will ascend to the throne of the God. Do you see, they were talking like that, but it was not the God of heaven. It was pagan worship, so God scattered them. And you know, a little side note here on that. This could be, some creation scientists think this could be where God separated the continents. You may have heard of the theory of Pangaea, where it was a supercontinent, and it says that God divided the land in the days of Peleg. This could be the time that happened, where you've seen where the continents seem to fit together like puzzle pieces. Well, it very well could have happened during this time. That's some creation scientists think that could have happened then. But anyway, that was a side note. Matthew 18:19. Again, I say, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them in heaven. Now, the important thing is to be in unity, but to be in unity with God. Keep our eyes focused on him, right? As we lock arm with other believers. God did not make us to be independent. He wants us to be interdependent with other believers. I know in our culture, it kind of goes counterculture because we believe in self-reliance, you know, individualism. But God's kingdom culture wants to see our unity, and God blesses unity when people come together. The early church really, really understood unity. I mean, they were together. In Acts 2:41-47, it talks about that they met together, house to house, and in the temple, they broke bread, they had fellowship, they had koinonia, but God so blessed it. There were such signs and wonders and miraculous power released because of that unity that they shared. And it was powerful. When the church comes into unity, the church sees and realizes the power. And number three, God wants to have us have agreement with each other. And prayer is primed with personal worship and intimacy with love for God and love for people. That's where the place of prayer comes from. But together, when we come together, we can release it. We can release the love of God in our worship by establishing unity through agreement. And you know, I think we saw this in a powerful way last week. We had corporate intercession and we prayed for the hurricanes that were approaching Florida and the victims in Hurricane Harvey. But together as a church body, we came with corporate intercession. We interceded. And I'm telling you, God answered our prayers. God totally downgraded that hurricane. Now, it wasn't just our prayers. It was all the prayers of the saints. I know John DeRone was telling me that in Tampa Bay, that I think he said 300 Christians went out with white shirts and a red cross on their shirts, and they rebuked the storm from Tampa Bay. Come on, because they realized their authority. But there's power in agreement. There's power in agreement in prayer. Now, this is the beautiful thing. God says if we agree, he'll agree with us and jump into the circle. Is that beautiful? Where there's agreement, there's power released. This principle works in all areas of life. You see it in sports teams. I think it's probably beautifully illustrated through football, right? Right. Amen. Where there is agreement, a team will win, right? And a great team learns that the sum is greater than the individuals. Team win, team unity. In fact, there's exponential power that's released when that happens. And we see that. When they don't work together, nobody wins, right? Now, Deuteronomy 32:30 says this, and this is beautiful. You can see the power of agreement with others. It tells us that one man can chase 1,000 enemies. So if one person can chase 1,000, two should be able to chase 2,000. But that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says two can put 10,000 enemies to flight. Do you see all of a sudden by coming in agreement, exponential power is released? And I just want to encourage, especially husbands and wives, pray together. Your place of agreement is a place of power. And you, when you pray together, you're going to release things greater than what you can pray alone. So I encourage you, make time to pray together. And our prayers are very, very powerful. 1 Peter 3:7 talks about our prayers, especially with our spouses and how we treat our spouses. It says, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." We need to honor one another in the marriage relationship and in other relationships. But when husbands and wives pray together, it releases such an impact of power. I was thinking about this. Actually, Brian said something to Daniel and I little while back. He said, "Teresa and Daniel, I believe when you two can come into agreement about a house, God will give it to you." That's important. You got to be in agreement, right? Don't make decisions. Do not make decisions when husbands and wives are not in agreement. It never goes well. I'm just telling you, it does not go well. So when you come into agreement, there's a place of power. And so he released that more like a prophetic word to us. And believe me, when we came into agreement, God delivered. God answered. Because you know what? There's a place of power there. So if that being the case, think about it. If the devil is very logical. Now, if you're not married, find a prayer partner. Find a friend to pray with. Find someone you can agree with. Because I believe you'll see answers, right? It doesn't mean that you're not a powerful prayer. Just find a prayer partner to agree in prayer over things. That's important. But the devil being very logical, and if he knows the power of agreement, that if two people pray together, don't you think he would make it his job and purpose to stir up trouble and disunity? He does, even in marriages. He tries to break that time of prayer time together. The devil wants disagreement and division. And division means two visions. So the number one strategy of the devil is to keep us apart, because he will accomplish the goal of stripping us of his power and make our prayers ineffective. So let's stay in unity. And as we find that place of agreement, it's a powerful place. In fact, Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together unless they be agreed?" And I love this in Ephesians. It says, "As a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, and make every effort." This is strong language. "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." You know, the Bible also says, "As much as lies within you, seek to be at peace with all people." You know what? You can't help somebody else's attitude. You can't help other people's situation. But as much as lies within you, be at peace with all people, right? Forgiveness, offer it, and just walk in that peace. In fact, there's such a blessing that's released when believers achieve and protect unity. There's anointing that's released, and it's beautiful and it's powerful. Psalm 133, verses 1 through 3 says this, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." There is a commanded blessing on unity, and that should be, you know, fuel for you to want to stay in unity with each other and in your relationships and in your church. 2 Chronicles 5, 13 through 14. It's a beautiful passage in the Old Testament. And you know, if these principles work in the Old Testament, how much more after the cross and through the grace of Christ? But we see something that happened in their worship service. It says, the trumpeters and the singers joined in unison as with one voice to give praise and thanks to the Lord, accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments. And they raised their voice in praise to God and sang, He is good and His love endures forever. Then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of the Lord. We've seen that, actually. We've actually seen a cloud of His glory in here, in the sanctuary. It's been like a mist. There's been times where His presence was so strong on stage, the musicians fell down. Seen Pastor Andrew on the ground a couple times on his back, leading worship. This morning, Danielle got just blessed and zapped by the power of God because His presence, it accompanies that. It's beautiful. Now, we don't want just Him to fill the sanctuary. We want Him to fill the temple of our life and our hearts, right? And it happens when we join in unity. Now, last is agreement with God's word. The foundation for all our agreement and prayer has to be based on God's word, the Bible. The prayer and the word of God are inseparable in partnership. Because sometimes you might say, I don't even know what to pray. Well, pray the word. Pray the promises of God. Make decrees and declarations based on the word of God. That is the second two-edged sword coming out of the mouth of God. And remember, He said He's watching over His word to perform it. But if you give Him nothing to work with, right, you got to give Him something to work with. So declare the word. I believe we'll see the part of the Great Commission accomplished here at Summit, but it takes faith and it takes prayer. And faith comes as a meditation on His word and the revelation that comes as a result. But when we see God's perspective towards us, faith will be activated. And when it's activated, God moves. It's just beautiful. So through prayer and great faith, we'll come into agreement with the word of God and see God do amazing, amazing things here and in your life. Amen? Amen. This is not just a corporate word. This is a personal word. Some of you have personal promises from God. God has highlighted scriptures. God has given you prophetic words. And they're for you. And they're for your purpose. And they're for your destiny. But you have to work with God. You have to pray those promises. You have to declare those promises. God wants to perform it. Right? So I just encourage you. Maybe you stopped praying over some loved ones. You've given up. Maybe you've given up on some dreams and some hopes in your heart. Don't give up. Jesus said, don't give up. He said, men ought always to pray and not give up. He wants to encourage you back into prayer, back to agreement. And I'm going to believe today that God is going to give you some breakthrough, and you're going to see some unanswered prayers answered. And it's just going to fuel you to just even partner with God in a greater way. Amen? So this morning, in summary, first we talked about our authority in prayer. Second, we talked about agreement is the place of power. Amen? Number three, we need to come into agreement with each other. And I'm especially encouraging spouses, husband and wife, pray together. Pray with a prayer partner. And number four, agreement. Let your prayers come in agreement with the word of God. You can pray confidently knowing it's the will of God if it's the word of God. Amen? So this morning, go ahead and stand, please. We're going to pray together. I always like to give an opportunity to see if someone would like to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. We can't take for granted that everyone is saved. Many times students or different ones will come in the building. They just want to check it out, but they haven't given their heart to Christ. I am so grateful for my salvation. I'm so happy I got saved. It was the best decision of my life, and I can honestly say with complete sincerity, I would not be alive today had not God saved me. And I'm grateful. I'm so, so grateful. And I want to give you the opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior. So let's honor one another. Let's go ahead and shut our eyes, and I want to just give people that privacy to make a decision for Christ. So if you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, if you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven, if there's a question in your heart, could you please raise your hand and say, that's me, but I want to make it sure today. I want to know that I'm saved. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. just pray. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray together then. Let's pray, and we'll do this together as a body, because there's people that want to receive Christ. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and I would like everyone to pray out, if you would, please. And we're going to come into agreement. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross, to take my sins and my sicknesses. I thank you for his salvation. Now, Jesus, come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. I repent of my sins, and I thank you for forgiving me. And I thank you for allowing me to be a child of God. Thank you that I have a place in heaven. Amen. Amen. Can we give God glory this morning? Right now, I'd like to pray a blessing over the body. And I'm so grateful. And if you made a decision for Christ for the first time, would you fill out a connection card and let us know, and maybe pray with someone from the prayer team afterwards? We're so happy. We're so grateful. You made the best decision of your life. But let me pray for you now. Father, I thank you. I pray for this body of believers. I thank you for them to live in grace, in harmony with people. I thank you, Father God, that there will be no division or strife. I thank you. You will cause them to be of one mind, perfectly united in thought and purpose, with their family, with their coworkers, with their friends, with other intercessors, with their church. I just bless them. I thank you for the power of agreement working in their life. I know as they agree with you, God, about anything that they ask, it will be done by you, Father God. Thank you. Holy Spirit, help them to be humble and gentle and patient with everyone. Make allowances for the faults of others. I thank you that they're going to commit every effort to keep united with other believers in the Spirit. I thank you, Father. I come into agreement with the Word of God and the promises of God in their life. And I pray, Father God, you would answer. I thank you for the spirit of unity, the same unity Jesus had with the Father. I release it, and I thank you for it. Father, I bless their lives, and I pray even this week, a breakthrough, Father God. I thank you for answered prayers. I thank you are the God of the breakthrough. I thank you, Father God, for releasing answers even now, answers that have been held up. I just thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I bless you. Thank you. Love you. Thank you.
Amen. What a...
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.